It's a neat thing. As we read in the book of Ezra, and it's Ezra 7:10, it says that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of God, of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinance in Israel. In Nehemiah 8, we're going verses 1 through 6, it said, "And all the people gathered themselves as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street, and it was before the water gate until morning, until midday, before the men and women. Those that could understand and ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe spoke upon them upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great Lord. And all the people answered him, Amen, Amen. With lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." You know, upon hearing Bill's testimony and the preciousness of God's word, you know, I found like Bill that after being saved, even though I wasn't living for the Lord, but I grew up in a Christian home. And I had gone to church my first 13 years of life, if you will, in this church, studying the Word of God. But what I found was at 30 years old, when I trusted in Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, all those verses I had learned as a youngster, I would start to say a verse and it would come to my remembrance. God's Word is so precious. We need to put it in here, and we need to practice it here in our hearts. You know, I found in my home that we had youth group in my home after being saved, and we came up with 20 Bibles. But as Bill expressed today, in some of these churches and these underground churches in persecuted countries and what have you, some of them do not have the Bible at all. We have a missionary in Siberia. She's there on a student visa. Her name is Elizabeth Porsche. And the way to get the Bible into her is to write a letter to her and say, "I spoke to my dad this morning. My dad spoke to me this morning." And then you write down the Word of God. All during the periods of the Iron Curtain, our church participated in sending letters to people behind the Iron Curtain. And in the letters was included the Word of God so that they could, if you will, smuggle the Word of God to the people who did not have the Word of God. There's a famous man who smuggled the Word of God back in those times. His name was Brother Andrew. And he smuggled God's Word behind the Iron Curtain. And just to show that he wasn't doing it, he began to leave his Bibles on the seat of his vehicle as he drove up to the gates of the guards. And somehow God blinded the eyes of those people, those guards, to not see the Word of God, so the Word of God could get in to people who hadn't heard it. There's an account in his readings. There is a book by Brother Andrew. By the way, they wrote about Brother Andrew, and it kind of shut him down because now the guards knew what to look for. He spoke about traveling, 1,300 miles into behind the Iron Curtain to meet a person who had also traveled that distance to meet in the middle of nowhere to give that person a Bible. That person fell on the ground and cried. When's the last time you gave a Bible a hug and held it in your arms as something very precious? Today we're going to do something different as we study. I'm going to bring up a point, if you will, about the Word of God. But I want us together, I want you to read the Scripture. I'll give the reference. And we'll read the Scripture together. But don't read it as the sake of, okay, we're going to read the Word of God. Read it prayerfully. Read it with feeling. If we do that together, what I pray is that the Word of God will speak today in your heart and mine. May we today embrace the Word of God. Oh, which one's the right clicker? Is it this one? That's how much I know. Okay, here we go. If I just push this one? Nope. Okay, we'll get there, hopefully. How about this? Okay, the first point is God's Word is eternal. Eternal. We have a hard time with that because we carry a watch. How many often do you say, I don't have time? One day we're going to throw these watches away. But eternal. The reference we're going to read here, the first one is in Psalms 119:89. Could we read this together? Yes. Yep. Thank you. The first question is Psalms 119:89. Could we read this together? Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands in the Matthew 28:35. 24:35. I'll get there. As we're saying this, think about it. Meditate upon God's word. The next thing we find is not only is the word of God eternal, but it's inspired. Could we read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16-17 together, please? Is inspired. One note, it's not just the red letters that are inspired. It's all of it. God's word will not return void. In other words, it will fulfill the purpose for which God has for it. Could we read Isaiah 55:11 together, please? God's word is alive. Could we read Hebrews 4:12 together? I wonder if you're taking notes. Think about these things this week. Here we go. God's word is powerful. We read Romans 1:16 together. One neat thing about this verse in Greek, the word power, is the word refers to dynamis. It's the same word for which we get dynamite. So when you think of power, it's powerful. God's word gives wisdom. Psalms 119:7, please, together. Yeah, making wise the simple. The word of God is good for the heart and guidance. Psalms 19:8. Together. Yeah. Yeah. Think about these things. God's word is the ultimate authority. Romans 13:1. I put another in Matthew 18. I will go to the back of that. Here we go. God's word will keep us from sin. Psalms 119:7-9-11. Number 10, let us know God's word, let us know God's love. Read. I left 10 for last because, you know, this idea of let us know God's love. I shared this in my Sunday school class this morning, but, you know, one of my goals 15 years ago was to love my dad, to make it a purpose in my life to love my Heavenly Father. All too often as believers, we're saved, and we think about what we can do for Christ. What we need to do is fall in love with Him. You know, if I'm in love with God, then I'll do whatever He asks me. Just like my wife. But I need to love my dad. I need to love my dad. You know, God's word taught me about His love. You know why? Because the love I have is not my love. It's His love. It's His love that allows me to love others. If I love my dad, I want to please Him. I want to live for Him. I want to serve Him. I want to do for Him. But please understand one thing. It's not what I can do for Christ. It's what He can do through me. It's not some power of my own. It's His power flowing through. Another verse. Let's read this. Where did this come from? Okay. In Romans 8, this is, talks about the love of God. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Can we read this together? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. Can I do something to make God love me more? The answer is no. Can I do something to make God love me less? The answer is no. God loves us regardless. It's called, in Greek, agape, which means unconditional love. It never changes. It's always there. Please understand, as I'm a believer in Christ and I sin, I lose the fellowship with Him. My prayers will not be heard until I confess my sin with Him. Actually, when I do that, it breaks away. It breaks away my fellowship with my dad. I need to restore that. By 1 John 1:9, it says, if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive those sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The love of God, we all know this one. John 3:16 says, Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. By the way, that last part is from verse 8. Okay, I want us to think about these things. God's love. God's love. 1 John 4, 9 to 11 says, If God loved us, so we ought to love one another. In 1 John verse 8, it says, 4 and 7 and 8, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone that loveth knoweth God, and he that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. By the way, love is God's character. God can never separate Himself from His character, or He would cease to be God. So that means no matter what comes in my life, no matter what comes down each day, it's an act of love from my dad. I have two choices in life. I can react or respond. I can react in rebellion. I can cuss God. I've heard it. I can react that way, which would be in the flesh, or I can respond to God. And responding by meaning that when I find myself in serious trouble, or let's say the death of my father, the death of my mother, and so on, we've had a lot of them, the first thing I did is ran to the Word of God. You know, my dad had cancer. I read the first verse that God gave me was in Joshua 1:9. For the Lord is thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Be strong and of good courage, it says. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. You know, I found comfort in the Word of God, but I found guidance in the Word of God. But I also, in going through that tough time, as I embraced God's Word, God taught me so much about Himself. And that Word became precious to me. It became the rock for which I stand. The rock is really Jesus Christ, but His Word is the truth. And in saying on a word, I stand on my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard testimony today from Bill, that just how powerful the Word of God is and how important that is. And so today, let us think of those testimonies. Today, we've had nothing but the Word of God as we read it together. And I want you to know something else about the Word of God. God's Word is powerful. When God speaks, nothing remains the same. Remember at creation, when it said that God spoke, how did He create the world? God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. God's Word is powerful. When He speaks, nothing remains the same. We need to embrace God's Word. Today, it's been all about God's Word. We've taken this time to read it together, to let God's Word be the main focus of everything that's taken place here today. But you know what? God's Word's enough. If we carry these words with us home today, if we meditate upon His Word this week, our hearts will change. We'll leave here different people. We'll leave here embracing God Himself. Talk about love.